Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is one of the most beautiful feasts in the whole of the year, the Church's calendar. We celebrate the feast of the Holy Eucharist, Jesus' presence in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. If we think, what's the most wonderful kind of gift that anybody could give to someone they love? I wonder what we would think. We would just ask that question in a different context. I don't think really any thinking person would say, a brand new Cadillac or gold and diamonds and stuff that you can buy with money. There are things more important than that. And really the one most wonderful gift I think that anybody could give to someone else is the gift of himself or herself. The gift of our whole self. It's like what happens when a couple marry, right? A man and woman give their whole lives to each other with a promise of fidelity right till death. And you know, the Bible speaks about Jesus' love for his church as a kind of spiritual marriage. We're presented in many texts of the Bible with Jesus as the bridegroom, and his beloved is the church, his bride, like a spiritual union. And the great gift of love that Jesus gives to his church, the greatest of all the gifts in this present life, is the gift that we celebrate today. Jesus gives his whole self to us in Holy Communion. It's a sign of his wonderful love for us. It's also a sign of a marvelous way that he found in order to remain with us even while he's visibly departed from us. We know that in God's plan, it was not part of the Father's plan that after his resurrection, Jesus should stay here visibly on earth forever. We know he couldn't die again, but as we celebrated several weeks ago, he rose up into heaven and is now in that invisible supernatural world that we can't understand at all in this life. We believe by faith that Jesus is alive, fully alive as God and man, with his full reality, his body and blood, but in a way that can never die, can never suffer again. But precisely because this is a supernatural kind of life, Jesus has given us his presence as his living, risen presence in the Blessed Eucharist, in the sacrament of the altar, that he gave his disciples that fateful night of the Last Supper. He had to go back to his Father in heaven, but he wanted to stay with us. That's always the way with true love, right? Nobody wants to be separated or parted from somebody they really love. Of course not. We want to be with that person. Love, whatever kind of love, we want to be close to that person that we love, right? And so Jesus was going to depart from us visibly to heaven, but he found this wonderful way to be with us forever, giving himself to us in the form of food. What seems to our five senses just like a little piece of bread, a little sip of wine. But we know that Jesus is really there, his true body and blood, his body, soul, and divinity, true God and true man. And it's not just a gift that's given to the church as a kind of a collectivity, as a kind of crowd. No, Jesus gives to himself to us, each one of us, personally and individually, in this wonderful way when we receive Holy Communion. So indeed, this is the most wonderful gift that we could possibly imagine that God could give us in this present life. While he's hidden from our eyes, but with the eyes of faith, we recognize him in the Blessed Sacrament. The scripture readings this morning emphasize certain other incidents involving bread and wine or bread at least, that were like a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. The first reading from Genesis speaks to us about an ancient priest called Melchizedek, who offered a sacrifice of bread and wine to God. That was like a forerunner, the very earliest one in the Bible, that looks forward in some way to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And in the Gospel, we heard about the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Once again, Jesus miraculously multiplying the loaves there as a symbol of the true bread from heaven that we receive in Holy Communion. Only in the second reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians do the readings speak to us directly about this holy sacrament of the Eucharist. St. Paul says there that it's been revealed to us that this is the Lord's true body and blood that we receive in this sacrament. And he goes on to say something that is very important. It's not part of the reading, but just in the next few lines after the reading today, he makes a point of reminding the Christians of Corinth, he's writing to, that we must be spiritually prepared in order to receive Holy Communion worthily. Because he says those who eat the body and blood of the Lord unworthily, if they're in a state of unrepented sin, serious sin, that is, mortal sin, they won't receive grace from that sacrament because they're not ready for that yet. And in fact, he says they'll eat and drink condemnation to themselves. So we must be prepared before we receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, this has become a very, very relevant theme just in the last couple of months. Probably many or most of you are aware that a couple of months ago, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, issued a document about marriage and family. And in that document, he touched on the theme of pastoral care for those who are divorced and civilly remarried. That's married in a government marriage, right? Not in the church. And there's been a lot of discussion about the interpretation of this document. Some have said this is opening the way now for a change in the church's teaching so that divorced and remarried people can now come to communion. And others, including very highly respected leaders of the church, and I can think of Cardinal Burke, our former Archbishop, Cardinal Gerhard Müller, who's the prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, that's the congregation in Rome entrusted with guarding the orthodox and correct doctrine, keeping faithful to Jesus' teaching, Cardinal Carlo Caffarra, another highly respected Italian cardinal, Cardinal Walter Brandmüller, and many other church leaders have said, no, this document shouldn't be seen as changing the teaching. There's a lack of clarity about it, yes, but the law and the doctrine of the church remain quite clear from the previous and more authoritative documents, particularly there's one by Pope St. John Paul II, in which he spells out very clearly that those who are divorced and remarried civilly without any decree of nullity of their first marriage, because Jesus' words apply to them. It's not just some human rule that here. Jesus said, the person who divorces his wife or husband and marries another commits adultery. That's Jesus' teaching. It's not popular today, but we have to remain faithful to that. And Pope St. John Paul II made a very clear teaching. He said, because they are in a situation which contradicts that faithfulness of Jesus, the spiritual bridegroom of the church, his bride, those people cannot receive Holy Communion unless they make a serious commitment that they're going to abstain from the acts which Jesus calls adulterous. In other words, what we say, living as brother and sister. In that case, they're no longer committing acts that Jesus says are not allowed. In that case, they can receive Holy Communion, but that's the only case. And we're to understand, I think, that the new document of Pope Francis does not change that. There's some ambiguous footnotes here and there. It's not too clear, as I say, but The correct way to understand a church document that is not very clear is to compare it with other teachings and above all the sacred scriptures and the words of Jesus that are very clear about this. And so I'd just like to let you know that this is the way that I understand the Pope's new document, that I don't believe that it changes the teaching and doctrine of the church. I don't think it could do that, because this is Jesus' own teaching, and certainly I myself, in confession and as regards giving the sacraments, I don't think it applies in this community here anyway, but I will certainly be observing the same doctrine and practice that the church has always carried on up to now. Let's end on a more cheery and positive note. Again, let's give thanks to Jesus for this wonderful gift of himself, his sacred body and blood in Holy Communion, as we worship him on this wonderful feast of Corpus Christi. Now let's profess our faith in the words of the Creed that you can find in page 8 of the Black Vatican Hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.